You're listening to episode 83 of Beyond the Barbell, brought to you by Reebok, the exclusive outfitter of CrossFit and the CrossFit Games. Welcome back to Beyond the Barbell. I am Ben Alderman.
I'm Blair Morrison. We're joined today by Danielle Brandon. She is a junior pole vaulter at Sac State University, conference champion from last year and the school record holder, as we're told. But not only that, she was the ninth finisher in the Northern California region at the Open last year. So that's probably why we're going to talk to her, but it's cool that she does the pole vaulting thing as well. Anyways, Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello.
Well, I'm admittedly a little bit out of practice. We haven't had to get together and talk to anybody in like what?
It's been a while since our last live show.
Yeah, our last live show. It's been a little bit. So, yeah, we're super stoked to have you. Recently, we got introduced to you or reintroduced to you when you came to Iron Mile for a competition and did pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you compete in pole vaulting, but you still sign up for these local comps. And I've seen you at Anywhere. I've seen you here at Iron Mile now.
Yeah.
So what drives that?
I mean, I just love CrossFit. I mean, any way that I can make it happen, that I can go train while I'm doing school and pole vault, like, I will make it happen. And I have a great gym that I go to, and they always, I mean, Jordan, he's always like, let's do this comp. Megan, they're like, let's do this comp. So, and I love doing them. I love CrossFit. So I just always want to do
it. You're at CrossFit Envy, right?
Yeah.
You guys have this cool young core of talented athletes that, I know, it kind of came out of nowhere, at least to my eyes, like within like the last 2 years, like all of a sudden, wow, you got all these like young bucks that are really, really good. And they're all in the same place. That's gotta be really fun for you. Was that all just like circumstantial how that happened? Or?
Well, I came here my freshman year for college and I didn't do CrossFit, and I could tell like in my athletic performance that I went down just because, I mean, CrossFit looked like what it does physically. And then
How come you didn't do it your freshman year?
I just didn't think like I had enough time. Like, I didn't know how to balance everything. I was new to college, so I was like, this is already a big change. But then I was like, I need to make this happen. And people at home were like, yeah, like you really should, like, you know, with how far you could go, you should really do it. And then I came across Envy. I went to a couple other gyms, but then I came across Envy, and having like Jordan and Nick, these young kids, like, it was really cool to be able to work out with them, and they go to Sac State as well. So it was fun.
Yeah, that's a perfect match.
Yeah.
Was there any sort of pushback from your coach at the track coach, like saying, hey, I'm going to do this, you know, this other fitness program in addition? Like, I can't imagine the coach would be very happy about that.
I don't really tell him. Like, they just don't really know I do it. Like, I mean,
Is it like against the rules?
It's not against the rules. No, it's not against the rules. They just know how, like, obviously overtraining, you know, like people overtrain all the time. They want people to be very specific to them. But I know that CrossFit helps with my athletic performance, so I'm going to do it.
And obviously the results speak for themselves.
Like, yeah.
Highest vault in school history.
It's
pretty incredible.
I mean, I have to think, like, he does know you do it.
Yeah.
You
know, no, what I mean? They
like,
know.
I can't think that he's he's like, you know, I'm just going to turn a blind eye to it. So because if I allow you to do it, then I have to allow almost everyone else to do it. Right.
But
so
I mean,
you kind of just go like, I don't know, you get the star treatment, but you're maybe.
Yeah. I mean, they know.
Might be happening.
They know. I mean, like, physically they can look at me and be like, okay, she's obviously doing something else. But it's obviously like I've stayed injury free. Like, it's not put a toll on anything. I did really well last year, so he's not, you know, they're not gonna stop me from doing it if it's doing nothing but good,
right? Know? And you still have your regular strength and conditioning program that they administer,
and I still do that.
So how do you balance those two things? Like, how often are you doing your track workouts, your strength and conditioning workouts, and then how often are you going to CrossFit? How do you kind of like mix that all together so you're not overtraining?
I mean, it's kind of hard. I just do it like day to day. I like base everything and schedule everything around my practice. When we have weights, which is on, I go Tuesday, Thursday, Friday at 6 or 7 a.m. And then I train every day for CrossFit. Thursday is normally my rest day, but I'll, you know, still do like cardio. I don't know. I just do everything. And I kind of look at like my track workouts, they just aren't as intense as CrossFit. So I still do them. Some days I probably overtrain when I squat twice, but I don't know. It's worked so far and it's been fine. So.
Wow. Yeah. So how long is your typical weight session for, or just, can you just outline like what those practices look like for, I mean, I don't know. And I doubt a lot of our listeners know what like a track practice looks like or what like weights looks like. And then what does your CrossFit, you know, training look like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, typically, so I do pole vault, so we'll jump, literally jump and do pole vault like twice a week. And then we'll have a short power running session. So like 50 meters, it'll be like, but like 4x5, 50 meters rest and repeat that like 3 to 4 times. And then on like our longer track workout days, we'll do, I mean, pretty like heavy stuff sometimes. Like we just had to do, five broken fours. So, I mean, 400 meters. So I don't know if we do.
That sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It sucks. The running sucks, but it helps too. And for weights, it's like an hour long. We squat, we power clean, we snatch, and accessory work too. So,
is it the same weight training program for the entire track team, or is it designated based on the event that you do?
It's designated on the event we do. So jumpers have one, throwers have one, and sprinters have one that are different.
So I'm just assuming here. I've never been on like an official track team, but yeah. I'm thinking that the fact that you are a jumper, mm-hmm, probably allows for you to do all this additional training.
For sure. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Because if you were, say, like,
if I was like a sprinter or hurdler.
Yeah. There's no way your body could handle it, right?
With the workouts they do, like, I'd probably be taking more rest days. So.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
I'm sitting awkwardly close to this foot. This foot is freaking me out a little bit. So
it's not awkward at all. You're fine.
Yeah. Well, I think your foot should have a microphone. Anyway, back to the task at hand. So you said sometimes you end up squatting twice, and is that just because you are following your weights program, and then you're also looking at like who's laying out your programming when you go into the gym, like the CrossFit gym, when you go into Envy? Because if you're like, oh, you know what, like if it was me, I would just say, oh, I already squatted this morning with weights, and I would do something different, right? Yeah. Or are you forced to follow a program there, or are you just like, I want to be a part of what everybody's doing, so I'm going to do that too.
It's kind of that. Like, I want to, like, because I keep them so separate, like my training, you know. Obviously, that's why I'll squat twice in one day or something, you know, because I go to CrossFit. And, you know, I'm keeping up with all the Jordan and Nick. Like, I'm keeping up with them. And so it's like, oh, am I under training if I don't do, like, this programming, you know? So I just want to be involved and do, like, everything they're doing, you know. I don't want to be like, oh, I'm tired and look, you know, like the weak one or something. So I just do
fair
it
enough.
All.
I think there's a huge amount of competitiveness or just even that camaraderie that you want to have when you're training. And it's like fun to train with people who are like-minded. Right. I don't think I could do it. I could do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously like, there's like the wanting to be part of it, but there's also like, you gotta be smart.
Yeah.
You don't want to risk an injury, like you said. And like, if, you know, I'm sure there are days where you come in, you're like, okay, well, the workout that's up on the board that, you know, Jordan wants to do is not what I should be doing right now.
For sure. There's those days where I know I shouldn't do it. Sometimes I do it. Sometimes I'm like, okay, let's be smart. Like, what do I have to do for practice the next day? Which is like a big factor. You know, I have to be able to go pole vault, and which is like pretty hard. It's not hard physically, but you just have to be consistent, and I have to be able to jump off the ground. And when I just did a running workout or, you know, CrossFit workout, my legs can be really sore, and that can, I sacrifice a lot. So
when you come into the CrossFit gym, is it the same time every day?
It depends on also if I have track meetings and stuff, because we have a lot of like track meetings. My practice changes daily. So some days it'll be at 11 a.m. Sometimes it's at 3 p.m. So, and then I also have a night class. So I have to like, but I always make sure I'm like, when can I go to CrossFit? And so, and I normally don't try and break up my session, like my strength and my conditioning, just because I want to get in there and do it. But so it's different.
Do you always have the same coach?
Matt, he's always there.
He's always there. So he kind of, he has a good gauge on like what your schedule is, what you've been doing, et cetera.
He knows. And Like, I always try and plan. There's at least someone I can go train with. Jordan, Megan, Nick. So, in our, like, little competitors group, so.
So, who's programming that stuff? Like, the actual Metcons and the, you know,
Matt.
Conditioning piece? Matt does
Matt
all
is
that programming.
Yeah, he does all that programming. Okay. He programs for the whole gym.
Is he the owner of NB?
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so he's programming for the competitors there.
Yeah.
And then also for the gym.
Okay. Little known fact, Matt is also an Anywhere Fit alumni.
Really?
Alumnus.
Oh,
alumnus. Nice.
Alumnus, yeah. He came on the second trip, not the Iceland one, but the one to Munich, Vienna, and Prague.
Well, to continue on that side
back
note,
in 2012.
I'm looking at these Instagram posts, and they're not even real pictures of Thailand yet. I mean, like, they're not ones of you on the trip. But I'm looking at this, and I'm irritated it's sold out. I never can go. You know, and I always mention my four kids. I try not to, but, like, it's really tough to get away. But that looks awesome. You know, the Anywhere Fit trip looks...
It's going to be great.
Yeah. Thailand?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Like, go work out next to a bunch of... Isn't there a lot of monkeys in Thailand, too? It's like monkeys,
I mean, there's jungle, so
jungle,
yeah.
Jungle, right? Yeah. And then you go eat Thai food and work out
what?
With monkeys.
Monkeys and elephants.
Like, yeah.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
Anyway. Whatever.
Back to the task at hand.
Back to the task at hand. We're talking pole vaulting and CrossFit with Danielle.
Yeah. Let's like, take... Last season, the CrossFit season, all your right. vaulting season, and so that was your sophomore year.
Right.
Right? You
yeah.
had a lot of success.
Yeah.
You started doing CrossFit again, obviously, and that contributed, and you had a lot of success in CrossFit as well.
Yeah.
Like, what type of expectations or goals do you have for this year coming up? Because now you're in preseason now, right?
Yeah.
You're starting to do workouts again. You're starting to, like, kind of ramp back up before
yeah.
the spring. What are you looking forward to, and like, what are you expecting out of yourself
for CrossFit?
CrossFit and track.
Okay. For CrossFit, I just realistically, I know the open is like the one I for sure can do because, you know, I couldn't do regionals last year. So I just like to do the open, and I hope I qualify again, even if I can't go, you know, just to say I qualified is super cool. And so I hope I do well there. It'd be super nice if I could go to regionals. Last year I loved all the regionals workouts, and I would have loved to compete and seen how good I could have done. In track, I hope I can go to NCAA again and, you know, beat my own school record.
Where did you finish in the NCAAs?
I don't remember exactly. I wish I knew. But, yeah, that's where I got the school record, was at NCAAs, though.
That's funny because she didn't know her exact open score either, right? So she doesn't know her open score. She doesn't know where she finished it.
I just do
so
it.
So just killing it and not even knowing where she's at.
Right, not putting too much pressure on the result.
Yeah. So you couldn't go to regionals, just outlining that again, last year because it conflicted.
Yeah,
right?
With track.
But if there is no conflict in terms of scheduling and you have to be somewhere, you'll go and you'll compete.
Yeah, I'll go.
Yeah, because I was looking at your scores you were finished ninth. You didn't have a single finish outside of the top 20.
Which is crazy. That's like very, that's
really
not
cool.
very common.
Yeah. I know that seems like normal for you, and you're like, because you're just you,
that's cool.
right? But it's
that.
Actually very uncommon.
Wow.
There are some people who barely qualified in this room who had a finish outside the top 100.
Wow.
who needed people to decline invitations.
Right? And then I still went and did okay at regional. So, I looked at your scores and I compared them with other people around you, and you finished ahead of some people that you might not even know how much they've done in the sport, you know, but you finished ahead of some really, really good people. And then in the world, I think in the open, you were like 112th.
Wow.
Out of all females in the open, right? Like, that's a pretty...
That's insane.
Yeah. 112th or 114th.
Cool.
Like, out of all women everywhere who did the open, that was where you finished. That's pretty good.
Wow.
You know, and your scores, I think your worst finish was 400-something in the clean workout.
Mm-hmm.
Still in the top 500 out of all workouts. It's a pretty good score. And then I was thinking, well, this girl, speaking of yourself, she might struggle when she goes to... regionals because of the weight, right? And that would be the natural thinking on that, right? But you're pretty tall, right?
Yeah, like 5'7".
Yeah, so you're a little taller. So a toe to bar workout might slow her down just a little bit, right? Because she's 5'7", right? And so she might actually do okay at regionals because I've seen her Instagram and she lifts pretty heavy. You know, you have some pretty decent lifts. So I think that you would do well at regionals if you went and really surprised people.
All right. I've watched Danielle compete in like two or three of our competitions like partners, and then also you did the Venture Wad this year.
Oh yeah,
with the two guys, one girl. Watched her compete at your competition. Obviously, she crushes the motor stuff. She is an absolute beast, man. If you go to regionals, you're going to do great because you have the total package. You don't have any like glaring weaknesses. You're strong, but you're very gymnastic, and you enjoy like the hard workouts. Like that's what I remember watching.
60.5. I think she got like second or third in the region.
Yeah, you enjoy the hard stuff, which a lot of regionals is so stressful on people because you're anticipating like the pain of the moment, right?
Yeah.
It's fun to be out there and you really enjoy it when you're done, but like during it, it's tough. And like, it seems like you like that stuff.
I do. I think I like almost like performing, you know, cause I do like track. I was a gymnast. I did swimming and diving. And when I was diving and doing gymnastics, I was like performing, you know, I liked to perform to people like what I could do. And I think kind of almost like I'm excited. Also, like, you know, I feel like I kind of am like an underdog, like not a lot of people like know about me. So I'm like excited to like go and compete and be like, hey, like, look what I can do, you know? So,
yeah. I mean, I think your background plays into it a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a swimmer and a diver, but like those are individual sports, right? Mm-hmm. Where you're out there on your own. Same with gymnastics. And there's a lot of pressure that comes along with that.
For sure.
Same thing with track. So like that part, the mental thing is probably going to be fine for you when you get to regionals, whenever that is. But I think there's also like, it has to be said, there's a genetic component where certain people, like you can have all the mental toughness in the world. Right. Like you can enjoy the performance, but if you don't have like the skills to do it, like you're really fighting an uphill battle. And like just based on your numbers and what I've seen you do and the way you move, like you have the skills, like you have the blueprint genetically to do very, very well. Like in this sport. I'm excited for you. I think it's going to, I hope it comes on a different weekend so you get to throw your hat in the ring and be out there on the floor with all those other great women.
Well, I think that what you're saying, like, you know, she's got the blueprint for it. CrossFit maybe more than, and probably like track, you know, maybe like those sports in the same thread of those sports. It is going to be about genetics a lot of times because it's just about output. It's about what can you do, right? Hand-eye coordination is not very important in CrossFit, right? I mean, if you had terrible hand-eye coordination at one point in your life, sorry, Jason, you couldn't throw a softball, right? You know what I mean? Like, you know, so at the games in 2011, was it 11? Right? Yeah. They had a softball throw, right?
Oh, wow.
And so some of the athletes got out there and they could not throw a softball. Right?
It was
how far can you throw a softball? It was like worth a third of an event, right?
Yeah.
Half
an event, right? And it's not very important. And it'd be funny, I think, to see that event come up again because I feel like we've advanced and we would know, like, most guys can throw a softball. But I don't know, there's still people out there who can't throw a softball.
Right.
Right? You know, and but the thing is, it's not about hand-eye coordination. It's not necessarily even about timing, except for in your heaviest lifts and your max effort lifts and the snatch and the clean and jerk. But even then, those things can be trained out of when you have two hands on a barbell. It doesn't move. There's nothing changing in your environment, in your space, right? You can control it. And so I think that him pointing out your genetics and maybe even aligning those with some of the other top athletes, that's just what it comes down to a lot of times is are your genetics right? Are your lever lengths properly proportioned for this sport? You know what I mean? And so, and then if you love training, like it seems like you do. It's
Your career in CrossFit is probably gonna be a lot longer than your career in track.
Yes.
is what we're saying.
Just stay healthy. Is there anything that being said that you have found that you struggle with in CrossFit? Like when you look at the sport and when you kind of, I don't know if you do this, but if you go on Instagram and you see a CrossFit athlete, a games athlete, and you're like, I'm going to do that workout. And you're like, oh my gosh, I kept up with her on this one, but on this workout, she completely annihilated me.
It's never like a physical thing actually, which is funny. Like we were just talking about mental. It's actually like sometimes mentally I can like really get in my head and mid workout. I mean, Jordan can tell you all about this. I just get so in my head and, you know, like I'm tired like everybody is. Everybody's tired. And when you're training tired, it's really hard. And I'll literally just like I'm just like, I'm tired like mid workout. And so it's mentally
just back
hard
off at that point.
Yeah. And I mean, like I'll finish it, but definitely like mentally it can be really hard for me to like want to grind through that workout like just in training, but So mentally, I think, is the biggest thing. More mentally so, also, I think I just don't give myself enough credit sometimes, you know, like what I'm doing. And I'm just like, oh, why couldn't I have beaten Jordan? Why couldn't I have, you know, kept up with him or something? I think that's like the biggest mental thing that I have. So.
Right. And I think that those moments are okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to have those low days where you're like, hey, you know, I'm not really feeling that competitive today. Yeah. I don't really want to push myself to the brink.
Yeah.
Because I'm just not feeling it. And that's all right. You have to give yourself permission to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that on the days when you are feeling great or on game day.
Right.
You are still excited about going all the way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that, you know, Blair usually disagrees with me on this, but I don't feel like I'm genetically like gifted in being able to do the sport. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like mentally I had to be willing to grind and go through a lot. Like mental toughness had to be more of a strength for me, at least in training.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily come across that way sometimes in competition, mm-hmm. but in training I had to be really willing to accept pain and really willing to accept just getting my tail kicked all the time.
Yeah.
And I think that when you don't have the genetic ability to jump higher than everybody in the gym, run as fast as everybody in the gym, you know, lift as heavy as everybody in the gym, you develop a mental toughness that maybe sometimes a genetically gifted person who's always been able to do that doesn't necessarily fortify as deeply as somebody who doesn't have quite that same genetic potential.
No, I can totally.
Does that make sense?
No, exactly. Like, that's exactly the person I train with, Jordan. He feels that he's not, he's like, he tells me all the time, he's like, you just have the genetics for it. Like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I do have the genetics, but I've also worked hard, you know. But him, who necessarily doesn't have the genetics, he's worked.
He has a turtle shell
worked,
for an abdomen.
How
does a kid not have good genetics?
Okay,
and
genetics
he looks, like
looks but he had to work like super hard, you know. But then when it comes to those long workouts that you have to grind through, like, he just grinds through them, like, no problem. And I'm just like, you know, like, some days it's harder. Like, it's harder for somebody that's maybe given more better genetics to, like, grind through it because they haven't always had to do that.
Yeah. So. I think you guys are spot on. The chip on the shoulder argument totally carries into CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
I will disagree with Ben. I think that where you, your conception of yourself being genetically ungifted was fortified before CrossFit. Right? You are genetically gifted for CrossFit. You are built for CrossFit. You have shorter lever lengths. You're naturally strong. You're not fast or explosive. So those things, in the sense that it wouldn't translate into a sport like football or basketball or things you played growing up. So you always felt like, or even when you're doing MMA, you always felt like you had to work harder than people to succeed in those sports. And I think those traits are built into kids through adolescence. So your experiences, like on the baseball field or on the in diving and swimming and gymnastics, like those color your work ethic later on. And it's really hard to instill that, to change someone who is like a genetic freak who never had to work hard and teach them to work hard in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
However, someone like Jordan or Ben or even me, I was like super small my whole life. So
no
I was always
way.
Having to outwork people. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not skinny now, but or maybe I still am. But you have to work really hard when you're a kid, and like you're trying. If you want to be the best and you want to win, which everybody does, and you're like constantly being told, well, you're not as big or as fast or as strong or as naturally gifted as the other person. You're going to develop that work ethic, and then you don't have to teach it to yourself later on. So I think by the time Ben got to CrossFit, you had that.
Yeah.
You had a chip on your shoulder that you still have. You still look at yourself like you're not quite there yet. Danielle, your situation is very interesting because I don't know what your childhood was like, but it sounds like everything you try, you're good at, right? But you still have a work ethic. So that's what I would call is more like the perfect storm thing, you know, where you have someone who has incredible talent, but also incredible work ethic. This is like we talked about with Michael Jordan. He was the most competitive guy, could jump the highest, and also worked harder and longer than anybody in the gym. Obviously, he's going to become the best basketball player that ever lived, you know? I don't know if you're going to become the best CrossFitter that ever lived, but you have the opportunity to do some things that not everybody has the opportunity to do because of this combination of, you know, qualities. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Where do you think your work ethic comes from? Like, why do you like, you know,
I mean,
pain and the performing?
I was very independent, like, as growing up, you know. So, and I had to, like, do a lot of things on my own. So I think, like, you know, whatever you want in life, like, you have to do it. Nobody else is going to do it for you, kind of thing. I don't know. I just, like, I like to do what I do, and I, like, am passionate about CrossFit and track, so I just put in the work. I mean, like, and I think also as a gymnast growing up, it's very, like, disciplined and very intense, and I think there was no complaining, you know, there was no complaining at practice, there was no crying, so I think that was just, like, instilled in me in just, like, work hard, and, you know, the people that you see who do have so much talent and, like, don't use that, you're just like, what are you doing? Like, come on, like, stop complaining and just do it. I don't know.
I think that's what it is, too. I think gymnastics, like, yeah. no gymnastics coach is ever impressed with their gymnasts.
Right.
Right? It's like, yeah. Whatever you're doing is never good enough. It's never perfect enough. Mm-hmm. So even if you're insanely talented, you're not being told that you're insanely talented or that you're right. really good. You're being told you need to get better.
Yeah. I mean, I'd do something and my coach would be like, that was ugly. And I'd be like, oh, I thought it was better, but okay, I'll keep doing it. Right. So.
Yeah, so you get used to that.
Yeah.
And that kind of, I mean, you got to be grateful for it, even though it probably was miserable while you were doing it.
Like, I am so grateful for it. Yeah. It was miserable for sure. Yeah.
Did you already tell us how long you were doing gymnastics for?
No, I started, I think I did it for like 8 years, 8 to 10 years.
Okay.
So I
did
it for a
while. So some of this is starting to make more sense now.
Yeah.
Right? Like this girl
gymnastics helped with everything.
So you're training, you're 20 years old and your training age is like 18. Like you've been training for 18 of your 20 years that you've been walking, or 21 years old. How old are you?
20.
Yeah. So you've been training for like 18 or, you know, 16 years, right? Which is really cool. And it makes a lot of sense that just the way you've been able to kind of develop this insane athletic ability, you know? So Blair talked about what you're hoping for in the open and for, you know, pole vaulting. What, right before that, we have this little event called Wadapalooza. Are you
going
to be able to put together your team and, and clear a schedule so you can show up for that?
Yeah, it's the weekend right before our season starts. And so I saw that and I was like, oh my gosh, I can actually go. So... yeah, I think Megan and Jackie, the girl I won with, we're going to do it. So, yeah.
That should be very cool. Are you excited to compete against anybody in particular? I mean, is there anybody you look forward to seeing? Is there anybody you look up to as a role model in sports?
I mean, the like sport for all fitness? Of, I mean, all those games athletes and like even just regionals athletes, it's just like crazy. You know, like I follow them all on Instagram and I'm just like, wow, like what they do is crazy. And even when we saw Molly and Margo at your competition, it was just like, oh my gosh, like we're competing against these athletes. It was like crazy. So I'm just excited, also nervous that we're like competing in that division. I mean, they're obviously all really good, so that's nerve-wracking.
So. It'll be a great experience for you as far as the nerves go, if you do go to regionals, because Wadapalooza the last couple of years has been above regionals as far as the level of competition and the athletes that are going to be there. Like you can get, like we took our team, our tie-dye nation team to Wadapalooza last year, three of the guys, and got destroyed.
Yeah.
Like we were, I don't know, 29th or 30th in the field of 50 teams in the three men. We were in the elite division. Yeah. And then we came back to regionals and we used that to like, okay, these are the areas we're lacking in training.
Mm-hmm.
Like, here's where we got to get better.
Yeah.
We came back to regionals and had our three men, three women team. One of our guys got hurt and we had a sub and we still took 10th in our region. And like,
wow,
the level is just very, very high there. So it's great exposure and it kind of, it puts regionals almost in a, attainable category as opposed to like, Wadapalooza is like the games, you know? Like, you really, really need to be the best of the best at what you're doing in order to have, like, a chance to be in the top there.
Yeah.
So for you guys, it's going to be great because you're going to know. You say, hey, how good are we? Or we really got some work to do.
And, like, for your athletes, the thing that I like about Wadapalooza, too, is because it's divided by gender, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times at regionals, you'll have in team competitions, you'll have like a workout that highly favors men. Typically, they're very, very good at it. And then women struggle with a movement, like say strict handstand pushup.
Or like rowing for calories or something.
Rowing for calories, right? When you're three dudes or you're three chicks and you're like going against just other chicks, like there is no room to hide behind a stronger male athlete who can maybe take over some of the work. Yeah. There's no room to hide even over one strong female on your team if you're the female team, right? Because the other two girls have got to do enough work, right?
Yeah.
Like they're going to see like what is it like? What is it like to have to dumbbell squat snatch 75 pounds, right? For multiple reps when these girls are touching going, can you do that? Can they do that, right? Like it's okay, you can do strict handstand pushes for sets of three, but can you do it for 10 rounds of that, right, in order to get through them?
And on a floating dock.
On a floating dock, right? Yeah, with swimming integrated, right? Like and with people and with, you know, all the different things that you have to do. And that's the one thing I like about Wodapalooza a lot more than regionals in that sense is, you know, like Blair said, his three guys, my three guys went against Rich's three guys. You know what I mean? And it's, you know, that was really, really cool. You know, it's like, we stepped out on the workout floor and we're next to Rich and James Hobart and Matt and we're like, okay, we're against them. And then, oh, there's the Smith brothers, you know?
Yeah, I think I just want to like take that in, you know, just like being surrounded by all these like really cool and famous CrossFitters. So,
and the other thing about it is that they're going to be, their guard's going to be down because they're doing it for fun. So you're going to be able to interact with these people. It's not going to be at regionals or the games where it feels serious.
Mm-hmm.
Wodapalooza feels fun. So when you get
That's
out there,
cool.
I encourage you to make friends. Like
Everybody's
going to be willing to talk to you if you are willing to approach them.
Yeah.
And take advantage of that.
Yeah.
It will.
There's a couple athletes that I think you will talk to. Not
yeah.
You, but like, they kind of like isolate themselves. But for the most part,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So take advantage of that because it will humanize the people that you see on Instagram and you realize I am every bit the athlete that they are.
Yeah.
And I can do the things that they're doing. You know, they've just been doing it a little bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Guido does a good job making it a celebration, right? It's like fun.
Yeah.
Fun for the fans, fun for the athletes, fun for the competitors, the spectators, excuse me. So, yeah, take that all in. The last thing, you know, I just wanted to go back on something that you touched on because we've covered kind of like where you're going to go this season.
Yeah.
But what does your training look like between now and when things start? Like, do you change anything? Like you said, you're ramping back up. I mean,
I just do what Matt, like what he programs for us. But I mean, we go there every day. I would say last year what we did, I mean, it was obviously a lot more like once right before the open and stuff. So that training got a little more intense. I think it'll ramp back up. So it always ramps back up during my season too. So right before the CrossFit season too. So.
Nice. Yeah. Let's transition away from training a little bit and talk kind of about like what your lifestyle is as a student.
My lifestyle.
So like, I mean, you're a college athlete.
What do you do for fun, you
know? Yeah. Like what else do you do? Like, are you,
oh my gosh, this is hard. I work out for fun. I like to bodybuild. And so I go to our gym and do that. I just don't have time. I sacrifice, you know,
do you
time.
Do you schoolwork?
Yeah, I do schoolwork.
Okay,
which that's what I do in my free time.
All right.
That's my free time is schoolwork. Hang out with my teammates. I love to do that. You know, just like explore Sacramento. I haven't gotten to see a lot of things here, so just do that.
What's your major?
Kinesiology.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So
perfect.
Every time you're working out, you're actually just doing research.
Yeah.
So to speak.
Yep.
Oh, thank God.
All right. So you're 20 years old. You're you're not quite 21 yet, so you can't really fully experience like the city or the downtown scene as far as bars and restaurants and things like that. But so since you've been in Sacramento, what are some of the things that you've seen that you like that you've, the reason I'm asking is because before we were on the air, you talked about maybe not even wanting to go to college.
Yeah.
Right. You wanted to just stay home and do CrossFit and like, obviously this is a huge love of yours, but you made the decision to come here to leave home right in Washington and to kind of like spread your wings a little bit. So tell me something that, tell us the listeners kind of what that experience has been like for you.
I mean, coming here was like on my own, you know, so that was like a big change for any college student. Just started like living in the dorms. That was crazy. like just a whole new experience, like meeting all these new people. And it was really nice with track, like immediate friends, you know, like I didn't have to worry about making friends really. So, that was new. That was great. My freshman year, I just tried to meet as many people as I could. Tried to do as many things as I could. I obviously wasn't doing CrossFit. I was just doing track and school. Yeah, I don't know. Like Sacramento is way different than where I'm from. It's bigger. People are way different. There's a lot more diversity of people. I'd love it. Like, I just love being independent and on my own and, you know, college, like doing whatever I can, whatever I want. I love it. I'm glad I came here. Like, it was the best decision for me, you know, to like go out on my own and get away from like that small town. So
Sac State is like typically a commuter college. There's a lot of people from here.
Mm-hmm.
And some people like still live at home and just drive to school, but obviously that's not what you're doing.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've been able to kind of lean on those people that are locals to go like to the right places to eat or to like experience their family life, things like that?
Yeah. Like one of my teammates is actually from here. So, we're great friends. And then my best friend, who's a year older, came here the year before me. So she kind of like knew, she was like, oh, I know everything. And so she like helped me out, which was like super nice. And that was like the main reason I came here. I was like, oh, my best friend Emily is here. This is perfect. She can show me the ways. And yeah, that's it.
Cool. Well, very cool. We're glad you're enjoying Sacramento. I have one more question for you. Do you listen to music to get yourself like fired up for all these training sessions?
Yeah.
Okay. So what are you listening to?
We listen to country, but that's only when our coach lets us put it on.
An interesting answer here.
That's only when our coach, nobody, it's me and Jordan. We always want to listen to country, but nobody else does. So it's only when we're like, nobody else is there.
We do Country Wednesdays.
Really?
Yeah.
You should talk to our gym about that. That we turn that on and they turn it off. They turn it off.
Come out to our Roseville gym.
I know. I'm going for country.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, if people want to, you know, keep following you on your journey through pole vaulting and CrossFit, how do they find you?
Instagram.
Danielle
Brandon 7. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I try to get more active with like my CrossFit stuff. I think a lot of people didn't know I even like did it. And then I started posting about it and they were like, what? Like, you do this? So I try to be more open about it.
Yeah, very cool. So. And you guys, as usual, you guys can follow us at BTB Podcast on Instagram. We've got a Twitter that we use a lot and a mailing list if you guys go to btbpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yep. Thank you, Danielle.
Thank you.